Appreciate him helping us this morning. If you've got your Bibles, let's open up to Luke 22. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. And you find that place, you're able to, we'll stand together. I'll actually be bringing the message out of 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read some out of Luke chapter number 22 and just what I've been reading. I really want the Lord to help us this morning. And I can tell you that. I mean that. I don't say it's Wednesday night. I mean it Wednesday night. I do not come to entertain anybody or to be seen or to be heard or nothing like that. I come to try to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope you did too. Amen. The Bible says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse number 31, said, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Colon. He said, "But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when." And boy, I'll tell you, I got to thinking about that passage right there. Isn't it a blessing that when the Lord says something, he already knows the outcome of how it's going to turn out? And so Peter don't understand what's about to happen, but he knows he's about to be under attack. He said, "I'm going to tell you two things." He said, "I prayed for you, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time. And God, I need your help this morning. Father, I pray, God, you give us good liberty to preach the word of God as it is. And God, I've already had good liberty in the house of God this morning. I thank you for every song that was sung. I thank you for the Sunday school airs already being said. I thank you, God, for dealing in my heart. And the Lord, for helping me the way you had. God, you don't owe me nothing. You don't owe us nothing. And to God, I pray tonight, no doubt as we've gathered in the house of God this morning, God, there's both wheat and tares here. God, there's both sheep and goat. And Lord, I pray, help me not to get focused on the wrong ones. But God, I pray, help me to feed the right ones. Lord, we love you today, I pray. God, if there be somebody here, that God, that's out of fellowship and don't know you in a free partnership, I pray this would be the day and the hour, God, that they'd turn their hearts to Christ, God, before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Lord, we love you and ask you to help us now. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. I've been saying this, I felt like it. The Lord has given us several messages out of this text, out of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22, about the kind of brethren and that the Apostle Peter was going to hell. Let me say this to you, friend. And again, I don't mean this ugly. I said it last week. But I want y'all to hear me very well. It'll help a lot of folks to remember what it is to be broken, so they can help folks that's around them. Amen. And listen, I know. And you say, "I never have been broken." Probably why you're not helping nobody. Amen. But I want you to notice here in the text that he comes to the Apostle Peter. And that again, we're not talking about not just somebody. We're talking about Peter. I mean, one of the inner three. That great man of God. I'll say this to you, friend. He's not probably none of us in this room. I may be even taking a step further. He's probably not all of us in this room put together that has done more for the cause of Christ than what Peter had done. And we ain't talking about just anybody. We're talking about the Apostle Peter. Amen. And we find that, boy, listen, even the Apostle Peter was about to come under satanic attack. And no matter how close you live, and no matter how right you are, it does not exempt you from having to go through a little trial and a little testing from time to time. Amen. But I want you to watch this, friend. He said, "When thou art converted." Two Sundays ago I preached about, and when he was converted, he strengthened the faithful brethren.
And the last Sunday I preached told my friend, the forgetful brethren, but this is the message that God laid in my heart. I mean, this is the whole thing that God's been churning on the inside of my soul for some time. I want to preach on how that the Apostle Peter was a fit subject to strengthen the fallen brethren. Amen. And now look here, friend, I want to go on record as saying this. And you say, preacher, I never have fallen. And well, let me go on record and just remind you. And you say, I never have fallen, and I never will fall. Let me remind you this morning, he's been better people than the folks sitting here that have fallen down. Amen. I thought about this. I thought about in the Garden of Eden, how you've got two perfect people made in the image of God that know no sin, had never seen no sin, had didn't know what it was like to feel any sin. And yet, my friend, they fell down. And you know why they fell? They was not careful about what they was taking in. And God said, don't you eat that tree. And they was ingesting the wrong thing. Let me go on record as saying this. And thank God, hear me today, friend. Hey, you're in danger of falling. And when you start taking in the wrong things, amen. Oh, you can't take, look at me, friend. Hey, youngins, look up here at me. Hey, you can't take in MTV all week long. Hey, come in for an hour of Sunday morning and then walk out of here and say, hey, man, I'm going to stand for God. Oh, no, friend. That don't work like that. Hey, you can't spend 42 hours on TikTok, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, and then say, I'm incapable of falling. And no, look here, friend. If you're going to stand for God, you better get in this right here. Amen. Oh, hear me today. I mean, the first thing I thought, oh, Adam and Eve, they fell. Based on what they was ingested. I thought about over there whenever Eli fell. Hey, you remember the Bible said how Eli came in Nathaniel and he was sitting on a chair. And the Bible said that he was old. He was heavy. He was blind. And he fell down on that thing. And I got thinking about that, Doug. You know what caused him to fall? He brought in something into the house of God and it wasn't ever supposed to be brought in. He wasn't supposed to be no chairs in the house of God. It was a standing place. It was a working place, Brother Creston. But oh, he got to bringing in some things on the outside and he brought them to the inside and it caused him to fall down. And now look here, friend, you hang with me. But you listen to me and hear me well. Hey, some things that ain't got no business in the house of God. Amen. They never have had no business in the house of God. I still think this. How we don't bring the world's music from out there and bring it into here. How we don't bring the world's dress out there and bring it into here. Thank God. And you say, well, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to wear what I'm going to wear. And you'll stand before God in judgment for it. Amen. But all this said, hey, folks, it's sometimes that's the reality is. I say, boy, you've seen them getting ready to fall a long time ago. They start bringing the wrong things into the house of God. How we find Adam and Eve started ingesting the wrong thing. How we find that Eli fell when he started bringing in the wrong thing. I thought about what it said about Asahel. How the Bible says this. Oh, Asahel's out and they're having a battle between Joab's men and between Abner's men. How the house of David and the house of Saul. Hey, you know what it says, Kevin? It says that Asahel was chasing after Abner. But Abner was a better mighty man than he was. And Brother Savage John, he had a lot more experience. And Abner gave him a warning. He said, go take somebody else's armor, young man. He said, but don't follow after me. Hey, you know what happened, Stephen? He kept following after the wrong thing. And the next thing you find, it said that he fell down. Abner took that to a spear. I smote him above the fifth rib. I want to go on record and say this. Everybody listen real good, all right? As Asahel fell because he was chasing after the wrong things. Amen. Have these folks in the house of God. And to look here, friend. How they're chasing after wealth. How they're chasing after notoriety. How they're chasing after jobs. How they're chasing after everything except for God. Amen. And I want you to listen. Hey, it's a real good chance you're going to fall. Hey, you keep going after the wrong things. Hey, it's a real good chance you're going to fall down. Hey, it's a real good chance, friend. said. It's going to find out, look here, this will get a little rougher before it gets a little better. How about you just hang tight with me, all right? I thought about old David. Everybody in here agree David's probably a better man than all of us, amen. I didn't even have the Holy Ghost. I didn't have a Bible. And he still had a better heart for God than what I've got standing right here today. But old David fell from on top of his roof one day. Hey, you know what caused him to fall? He got to looking at the wrong place. Let me say this to you. Husbands, thank God, you ought to be looking at your own wife. Amen. I wish I had a little more help on that one there. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. How you get to look in the wrong direction. How you're probably liable to see what you're looking for. Amen. How the devil put something out there in front of you. Thank God. Look here. And he'll say it won't be long. It won't be long till they fall down. I mean, look, there's all kinds of them. And we go through the whole Bible. I got thinking about this. Listen. That boy, old Eutychus fell too, didn't he? I know Eutychus. Eutychus ain't a familiar name in the house of God a lot of time. Having old Eutychus was there. He had the best preacher. Not a better preacher than Paul. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, Paul's sitting there. I imagine Paul wasn't born when he was preaching. He probably had more of the fullness of God on his life than any other human ever lived. Amen. Outside the Lord Jesus Christ. I imagine there's power in what he had to say. Asa hell got up and he found himself falling because he said in the wrong place. And I'm not talking about his physical place, but he sat where he was halfway out and he was halfway in. And listen, look here, friend. I mean, I preached a message one time, I might preach it again on hokey pokey Christianity, amen. And you got one foot in and you got the one foot out and you got one foot in and you're trying to shake it all about. I mean, look here, friend. And thank God, if you're saved by the good grace of God, and God has commanded us and ordained it, and we get both feet out of the world and into Christ. Amen. Oh yes. You sit there and I've seen folks listen. And you know they start off just a little bit. And the devil teases them like this. They'll start sitting in the house of God. And they're writing notes and they're engaged. And they're having a good time with the Lord. And then before very long they get out. And they think, you know, this won't hurt me. And just to miss this once. Or it won't hurt me just to try this once. And what they're doing is they're just, they're sort of scooting over in their seat. And then they sit right there and they say, you know what? Brother Donnie, they say nothing happened. I'd done what I was going to do and nothing bad happened to me. I believe I'll sit right here for a while. And then the next time they just go a little further and they just scoot just a little more to the edge and a little more to the edge and a little more to the edge till the next thing you know they've done fell right down. I'm saying this, friend. I'd be very careful where you sit, amen. I'd be very careful how you stand in this thing. I'm convinced of this. I'm sure there's never been a day that there's more lukewarm Christianity than today that we're in, where folks want to play both sides of the fence, want to spread out real thin, want to have power with God and still enjoy the world. It'll never happen, amen. You can't have both. You'll have one or the other, but you'll never have both of them. And then we find old Peter here. I mean, listen, you say praise God. I mean, we find Peter, and Peter's in this place. And now we find all these good examples. But then I want to know this. My question, look up here at me. My question is this. Is how does somebody as close to God as he is, how does that fellow fall? And I'd like an explanation from Peter. And Brother Matt, I got to praying about that. And I find it right here in the Bible. And look with me, if you will, Matthew 26. And then I'm going to get to where I'm trying to get to. But I want you to see this. Everybody listen, if Peter could do his own testifying this morning about how he fell, and Peter could tell us today how what it was that caused him to go back and to let God down and all of those things, Brother Benny, we'll find it right here in the King James Bible. I want
want you to notice what the Bible says in Matthew 26, down there in about verse number 33. He said, Peter answered, and he saith unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I'd say this, oh, Peter boasted too loudly, amen. And now look at me, friend. Anybody that starts boasting too loudly about what they would or would not do, they're just about to fall, amen. How you mark her down. You better be real careful. You say, oh, Brother Kevin, I would never do that. I would never do that. Listen to me, friend. There's a lot of things that I think have that passed through my mind. I don't know where they come from, but I know what the Bible says. Have no confidence in the flesh, amen. And I believe just what it says. Oh, Peter stood up and he just boasted just a little too loudly. You ever been around folks like that? I mean, look here, friend. They're real hard on everybody else that has messed up. But if you listen to them, ain't never been anything messed up in their lives the whole time. They say, oh, I would never do that. I would never get in that shape. I would never fall where they fell. I would never do any of those things. I'm going to say this. The only reason you ain't right now is by the good grace of God. Amen. That's the only reason. That's the only reason, thank God, that you're sitting here right now. That's the only reason that they didn't come visit me in jail. That's the only reason, thank God, that I wasn't that young man Jesse that you was talking about. That's the only reason, thank God, that I'm standing where I'm standing at. And I've still got my family. That's not because I've lived right enough. That's not because I'm a legalist. That's not because of any of that. It's because, thank God, and the good grace of God has kept me. Amen. Oh, but Peter, I mean, Peter would say, well, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I got to boasting a little too loudly. He said, I was sure of what I was, and I was sure of what everybody else wasn't. Amen. He said, I don't care. Had this. Now listen, you imagine this story. This is how this went, Brother Coger. He looked at the Lord and he said, Bobby will deny you. Yeah. Scotty will deny you. Joe will deny you. Kevin will deny you. Eli will deny you. Owen will deny you. The whole lot of them will, but not me. Amen. He said, I'll be standing here when nobody else is standing around. And look here, friend. I don't know if that's real in your heart or not, but if it wasn't for God, you'd be the first one out the door. Amen. And yes, you say, oh, brother, I've prayed to the Lord. And I said, Lord, forgive me for how much quit I got in me. Amen. I mean, they sometimes, thank God, how we just give up and throw out the whole thing on a moment's notice. And so the first thing you find is he boasted too loudly. Then watch with me, if you will, in verse 38. He said, then saith he unto thee, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. I'll tell you what Peter did next. Not only did he boast too loudly, but he prayed too little. Amen. Listen, look here, friend. If you want to be on the fast track to falling, just stop praying, talking to God. Amen. These folks, they come to me all the time. They say, Brother Kevin, my life's wrecked. And I always ask them the same questions. What's your prayer life like? And what's your Bible reading like? And you know what the answer usually is? Yes, I'm not reading my Bible much, and I ain't been praying to God. Look at me, neighbor. You're going to fall that way, amen. You're going to fall that way. Hey, you get out of fellowship with God, won't be long till you'll be in a mess. And I never, look at me. I don't know not one person that's ever shot drugs in their body, and not one person that's ever cheated on their wife. Not one person that's ever turned up the bottle while they were reading John 3:16. I don't know of one. I don't know of not one person that ever went out to steal. And that while they were stealing, they was talking to God. Amen. Hey, you can't do both of those. Amen. And so look here, friend. Peter prayed. He said, I'll tell you this. I boasted a little too loudly, and I prayed a little too little. But then watch what the Bible says next. In verse number 40, it says, and he cometh to the disciples, and he findeth them asleep. Oh, Peter say, I slept a little too long. Amen. Oh, look up here, friend. If you want to fall, you boast too much, boast too loudly, pray too little, thank God and sleep too much, and you'll find you're a candidate for falling. Amen. Oh, but listen, that's not all. And we find here, this is the one. I mean, now listen, I could preach right there. Everybody know what time Sunday school is here? Anybody know what time that is? Somebody help me on that one. As a few folks knew what time it was, amen. I was just checking. I didn't know, amen. Here's what you find in this scripture. Have it, thank God, he boasted a little too loudly, prayed too little. We find right here that whenever it comes to this, had he slept too long. But then you notice in verse 58, he said, but all this, or verse number 58 says, but Peter had followed him afar off. Oh, Peter said, I tell you one thing I done wrong. He said, I was asleep and when I ought to have been awake. He said, thank God, listen. He said, all these things was happening to me, but one thing that did happen that caused my fall was I let too great a distance, it got too large, and between me and God, and between me and the Son of God. You can sit right here this morning, be 10,000 miles from where the Lord Jesus Christ is at, amen. I sit on a pew, heart be somewhere else, mind be somewhere else, only the shell of your body sitting here right now. But I'm telling you, thank God, I don't know anybody that's ever fallen and it's been trying to really get a hold of Christ. Don't know nobody, do you? Somebody help me on that. Now, old Peter fell, and there ain't no doubt about it. Old Peter could stand and testify and say, hey, Peter, what'd that feel like? Peter said, I'll tell you, first thing I done is I wept over it. Oh, listen, it's amazing to me in our hour how many folks it is can offend God and it not offend them. Somebody help me now. Don't dial me on that one. I mean, look here, friend. I'm telling you, you come in and you've got to letting the Lord down and you failed the Lord where you're at. I think it ought to hurt your heart. Don't you think that's right? I mean, I think it ought to cause you to go home and have water around. I think you ought to go home and wonder. How about you standing? I mean, like, Lord, what's going on? How'd I just do what I just done? How did this continue the way it has? But in our day, thank God, look up here. In our day, we find some folks and they ain't right with God. I mean, look here, friend. Ain't living with somebody that ain't their wife and they'll get up and raise their hand. I shout amen. I get up in the choir and say, you ain't right with God. Thank God, quit trying to fool yourself. Amen. I'm saying this, what ought to happen is there ought to be genuine repentance in our heart. And we have done what the Bible says not to do. Amen. Don't you think that's right? I mean, look here, friend, when we walk out this thing, and there's nobody in here. Now listen, you say, well, I do a lot of things, but I wouldn't do that. You'd do worse. You'd do worse. You'd do worse. I feel like that needs to settle in our heart. Sometimes as independent Baptists, we feel like we're the best. You'd do worse. Said, I wouldn't ever kill nobody. You'd probably kill two people. Amen. You'd do worse. And if you don't think it's in you, you've deceived your own self. Peter didn't think it was in him either. He said, I don't know who'll do what, but I'll not be the person that'll do it. You know what he found? He said, I'll tell you this. I went out and I wept. I mean, it hurt him. Brother Cliff, he wept over it. He was wounded because of it. The Lord looks at him. You read it in John 21. The Bible says, but he was grieved at his heart. Hey, listen, when you fail the Lord, I believe there ought to be some wounds there that stay. Y'all think that's right or hard? I mean, I know God gives grace. But I'm going to tell you this. There's some places I've been that I offended the Lord in them. And every time I get close to them, I think, oh, no, there's an open wound there. I remember what I'd done to the Lord there. I remember how I offended Christ there. I ain't going back there, amen. And now, look here, friend. If you got a problem with liquor, you probably ought to stay away from liquor places, amen. Amen, thank God. I mean, I don't know what your problem is this morning. I'm just saying this. Wherever you fell at, you probably ought to stay away from it. I'm simply saying Peter got in this place. He'd say, well, I can tell you this. When the Lord said something to me about loving him, it sure wounded my heart. Sure, does it hurt you? I mean, let's be honest. Just for a minute. Let's just right here. And I'm going to give you a 3-minute message after this. This is the whole message. This is just build up. I'll preach the message in just a second. I want to ask you this question. I want you to be honest. When you sin against God, does it hurt you down here? Down here. I'm not talking about when you get caught. Everybody's sad when somebody catches them. That's a worldly sorrow. This one right here, when he gets caught, sad. Not caught, not so sad. I'm talking about when nobody else is around and it's you and it's God and you sin against the Holy Ghost. Does it hurt you right down here? You think, how in the world did I just sin against the only person who's ever really loved me? I'm talking about, listen, my mom and my dad's here. I believe they love me. I believe you love. I'm talking about the only person that really knows me and still loves me. Lisa, when I hurt him, these times, Braden, I'm ashamed to say, I've taken many steps. Been like David and just kept going. Been like Peter and just kept getting warmed by the fire. But boy, when the Holy Ghost comes by, man, he says, what about what you just done? And I mean, it's just you and God. Nobody, you say, man, I could hide this thing for 100 years. You can hide it to the judgment seat of Christ. It's coming out there, neighbor. But I'm talking about just you and God. It ever just wounds you? I'm afraid sometimes I'm preaching to folks that they don't have no real standing with the Lord. And whenever you start talking about sinning against God, they don't have no idea what you're talking about. They can throw it back. They can say whatever they want to say. They can do whatever they want to do. And they can keep coming, and it never bothers them. Now, I want you to listen to me. Everybody dial in real close, real tight, and listen as close as you can right here. Y'all listening? If you can do that, and you are without chastisement, listen to me. The Lord doesn't mince words. He doesn't dwell in a gray area. He said, if you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. That's pretty serious, don't you guess, brother? That's pretty serious, ain't it, Jesse? He said, then ye are bastards and not sons. The reason God don't deal with you is because you don't belong to Him. Same reason I ain't never whipped your kid. They ain't mine. But I've got all of mine. Every boy that belongs to Kevin Sexton has bore his handprints on them at some point in time. I don't care if you like that. Amen. They're mine. I'm going to correct them. Now here's the message. Oh, Peter fell. He said, I remember what it was to weep. I remember what it was to be wounded. I remember what it was to feel worthless. You remember what it was that you hurt God? Anybody in here? Anybody else in here feel worthless when you've hurt the Lord? Fell down and you said, I believe I'd just go fishing because I'm sure of this. The Lord would never use me again. There's a sense of worthlessness that sets in on your heart. When you fail, you messed up. First Peter, I'm getting ready to be done, but I want you to stay tuned with me real close right here, because I want you to see the Holy Ghost showed me this. I didn't read it in a book. The Holy Ghost showed me this. Don't know why I ain't never seen it like this, but I want you to watch this. First Peter chapter 5. Peter's job is to strengthen, Kaylee, the fallen brethren. And every area, Ty, that he fell in, he warns us against in 1 Peter chapter 5. Watch this. Watch what your Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 5. I find this. First thing he done was he boasted too loudly. And in verse number 8 he said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. He said, don't do what I did. Second thing I said was this, is that he prayed too little. But notice in verse 7, he said, casting all your cares upon him. You know what he's saying? You ought to pray a little longer than what you just done. And I want you to watch the next part. The Bible teaches us in this in verse number 9. He said, whom resist? Let me back up verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we find in verse number 8, verse the start with, he said to be sober and to be vigilant. That is to say, before he prayed just a little too little. And then we find he slept a little too long. He said, you better wake up. Then he let the distance get a little too great. And he said, your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion. You know what the devil does? He waits till he separates people away. And then he devours them. Y'all staying with me? Now watch this. This is the part that the Lord really dealt in my heart about. When he writes this letter, look on down with me. Verse number 12. He says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I've written briefly, exhorting, testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand. The church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doeth, watch this, Marcus, my son. You know who that is? Bible teaches us that Paul had a fellow that he called his son. You know who it was? Y'all know that? Timothy, right? Everybody knows that. It's Timothy. Well, not everybody, but I mean Timothy. It's Timothy. Timothy would run around and he'd say, Paul is my spiritual daddy. Wouldn't let him to the Lord. And Hannah Paul would look at Timothy and he'd say, that's my boy. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. But what about Marcus? Marcus, you'll find in your Bible in Acts 16, there was a time he was running around with Paul, and he was running around with old Uncle Barnabas, and the Pamphylia. He said, I don't believe, Mark said, I believe I'll go with him. Old Paul said, you ain't going with us. He said, you messed up. You went back and you fell down. And Paul probably was not the kind of fella, son, to win him back to the Lord. But way over here, he had a guy named Peter. And Peter could look at somebody and say, I know what it is to have messed up. I know what it is to have fell flat. And so, oh, Peter didn't have a son like Timothy who was, everything was right in his life. No, his boy was named Marcus. Nobody else wanted to have much to do with him, but old Peter, he just pulled old Mark right up close to him. He said, this is my boy right here. He said, he had failed. I know he had failed, but thank God. Look at me, friend. Oh, Peter may have failed, but don't you ever forget, he got back up, amen. He got back up. He strapped it back on, and he went on for the glory of God. And now he's reached out to another fallen brethren, and he said, oh, I know how you're wounded. I know how you've been weeping. I know how the devil's had his way in your life. I know how you feel worthless. But by the good grace of God, and two are better than one. The one will lift up his fellow when he's fell down. Amen. He gets a hold of him. He says, come here. He said, come here. He said, this church, you know when he's going down there, Logan, he's writing 1 Peter 5.
Right.
And he said, be sober, be vigilant. Oh, Marcus is saying, man, I wasn't sober and I wasn't vigilant. And he says, resist that fast in the faith. Oh, Marcus said, man, I didn't resist that fast in the faith. But then he says this. He said, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, everybody's got the same problem.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know where he was before, but Marcus is my boy. And listen, you know what the Lord used old Marcus to do? I want you to listen. Boy, this makes me so happy. The Lord used Marcus to write down the gospel of Mark that you hold in your hand. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. Mark writes down maybe one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. Mark chapter 5. It's the hopeless chapter.
Yes, sir. That's a good.
Ain't that? Oh, Mark gets to writing down. He comes to the demon at Gadarenes. And they say they bound him and there's no hope. I can see old Marcus saying, oh, there's hope. Amen. He gets over there and he gets to talking about the woman with the issue of blood that the doctors gave up on. And they said, hey, there's no more hope. And old Marcus said, if God can do it for me, he can do it for her. And old Marcus gets to writing that down. He gets over there and gets to telling about Jairus' daughter and how she's already dead and all hope is gone. But old Marcus said, wait till she meets the one that rescued me. Amen. You know how he got to where he got to writing all that down? Here's the thing. We're sitting here today and we said, who is going to write the gospel? Which of you going to stand up and say, I live right enough with God, I believe God would choose me? Here's the good news. God didn't want somebody who was perfect to write his gospel. He needed somebody who that every time they would write something down, they was reminded that where they failed, he succeeded. Where they messed up, he got it right. Where they was coming up short, he came up right on time. I'm saying this, listen to me, friend. We've got a responsibility in our church, and it is to restore fallen brethren. Peter took that serious. Let's stand to our feet. I thought I'd preach more. I feel like that's where the Lord wants me. Let me say this. Let me say this to you this morning. I don't know your heart, but if you're in that place, listen, where you've fallen, you've went back, you've messed up, boy, there'd never be a better time to come and say, Lord, I did mess up. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to go on. And I read where Peter fell. Ricky, come play us something. I read where Peter fell, but I never read again. Josie, I never read one more time in that whole Bible where Peter ever fell down again. He got up and he went on, Dustin, for the glory of God. I don't know your heart, but I'm going to say this, and I hope to God, if you're standing here and you're one of them people that feel like you've never messed up, this message, I hope it goes right down into your heart. I hope you don't ever mess up. I hope you realize you're capable of it. You're capable. Go ahead and play. As they play.